Okay, we're going to start here at the top of Yud-Chet Amud Aleph, four lines down. The Gemara is first going to discuss something that we touched upon in the end of yesterday's daf, which is the need that the sakin that the person who's doing the shechita with must be checked, both by the individual himself, as well as by a chacham. We learned yesterday, and that's Rabbi Yochanan's statement we saw it yesterday, as well as earlier in the Masechta, that's mipnei kvod chacham. You should bring it to him. So someone who doesn't do that, that's what the Gemara is going to deal with right now. Amar Rav Huna, Haitabcho, butcher, the losar sakina kame chacham, doesn't bring his knife in front of the chacham, misham tinanle, we put him into nidui. Now, the problem is, chutzpah, there's an individual, we're not saying that he did anything wrong, we're not saying that his shechita is problematic, we're just saying that he's not acting with the proper etiquette, with the proper acknowledgement of the chacham there. And since he's mechutzav, and mechtziv panav, the gabe the chacham, therefore he gets put into shamta, gets put into nidui for not showing the knife to him. Virova amar, on the other hand, Rava says, no, this is much more severe. Ma'avirin lei. First of all, we remove him from his position. He loses his standing, loses his license to be a shochet. Number two, umichrazinan abisrei de treifoi. And then we announce that all the meat that he shechs are treifot, that they're no good. So Rava has much more severe repercussions for not showing the knife to the chacham. Gemara says, v'lo plige. They don't argue. Kan bishin nimtzei tzakino yafeh. The first case, when Rav Huna is speaking, is a case when they check the knife post facto and they find that the knife is fine and they know that he's doing a good shechita. So the question is only a question of chutzpah, not a question of tarfut. On the other hand, kan bishin nimtzei tzakino yafeh. On the other hand, this is Rava's repercussions are in instances where we find that his knife is no good. When we find his knife is not good, this is not just an issue of chutzpah. There's an issue of, we worry about this person's ability to bring kosher shechita and kosher meat to the people. So therefore we go to much more extremes and we depose him, we remove him from his position, we announce that all his meat is treifot. Ravina Amar, Ravina responding to Rava's statement says, Amar, heiched alo nimtzei tzakino yafeh. Wait a minute, Rava, you don't do enough. If we find that his knife is problematic, not only do we disbar him, not only do we announce that all of his stuff is treifot, we mimasmes le beparato. We take the meat and we mix it. Parato over here is like perish, which is the dung, the waste, or the innards of the animal. We basically ruin the meat that he shechted. Now, ruining the meat he shechted has implications not for Jewish people because nobody would eat this meat anyway. It's a problem in a veil or a treifa. It's not a kosher shechita. Thing is that with an availer treifa, you could sell it to a goy. Over here, you're making it ma'us, basically. You're making it that no one would want to eat it, and you're taking away his ability to sell it to a goy. So that's part of the knas, Ravina says. But this individual, sakino eno yafeh, we find him like that. Not only is he removed from his position, we announce that he's treifa, but we take away any his ability to earn any money from this meat. Because once you do that, he can't sell the meat to anybody, because now you've made it basically disgusting, and nobody would touch the meat. So now we have a case. He didn't bring his knife in front of Rav Barchinina. Shamte, put him into nidui. And he removed him from his position. And he announced about his basar that it was a treifel. As Rashi points out over here, Shamte kesavar ki ama Rav marvinanle afilu nimtzei tzakino yafeh. That this position that is taken by Rav Barchinina is based on his understanding of Rava. That Rava said this even in a case where his knife is okay, that we put him into shamta and then we remove him from his position. All of that was stated in a case even when we find out his knife is good. And that's the situation that we have at hand here. You could have argued and that they found that his knife wasn't good, but the case seems to be a case where the knife is okay. We're going to see from the latter part of the story that it seems to be that his knife was fine, that he wasn't a problematic butcher, just he wasn't bringing the knife before Rav Barchinina. Then, Iklu'u Marzutra of Ashi Legabe, Marzutra of Ashi came to visit Rav Barchinina. Amar Luhu. So he said, Rav Barchinina said to Rav Ashi Marzutra, La'ainu Rabbonon b'milte. Go and check into this individual, the Talibay Tafle, because he has children to support. He needs Parnasa. I basically took away his Parnasa, and he has to support his family. So can you look into the situation, see if there's any room to be making? Vodka Rav Ashi l'sakinei. So what did Rav Ashi do? He checked his knife. V'nimtzei tyafeh. And he found that the knife was fine. I mean, after the fact. They checked the knife and it was fine. So he wasn't bringing it before the Chacham, but still the knife was okay. Va'achshere. And he was matir, his meat, and he said everything was okay. Wait a minute, how could you just say everything's fine now? What about Rav Bar Chinuna said beforehand? We were empowered by him. He asked us to look into the situation. He asked us to find a heter over here, and that's what we did. Once we know that the sakin is yafer, then Rava's din doesn't apply over here anymore. We said before, v'lo plige. V'lo plige, because Rav Huna's din is when the sakin is good. Rava's din is only when the sakin is no good. So over here, where they found that his knife was fine, it wasn't a problem of kashrut, it wasn't a halachic issue. It was simply a chutzpah issue. So over there, you can leave him in shanto, but you can re-empower him or re-license him to at least make a livelihood and out of his meat. That's there because it's not going to be announced to be treifa anymore. Right now, the Gemara is going to complete the Mishnah. The last part of the Mishnah talked about the fact that you're not a shecht with a tooth and with a nail. So Amar Rabbar Bar Huna, Shein Telusha Vitziporen Telusha Mutar Lishchotba. If you have a tooth that is detached, or a nail that is detached, you're allowed to do shechita with them. Lechatchila. That's lechatchila, meaning that there's no ikuv, they're fine, they're good for shechita. V'hanantnan. Our Mishnah states just the opposite. Chutz mimagala katsir. Things that you're not allowed to do shechita with are a harvesting side. V'amegeira and a saw. V'ashinayim and teeth. V'atziporin and a nail. Mipnei shehein chunkin. Because they don't cut, but rather they choke or they catch along the way. Gemara says, Shein Hashein lo kasho, the tooth of our Mishnah and the tooth mentioned by Rav Huna, that's not a problem. Habachado, here's talking about one. Vahabitarte, and here's talking about two. Now here we have to talk about teeth that are still in the jawbone, but they are detached from the animal. So they're already considered tlushot, they're considered separated. If you have one tooth in the jaw, then that's fine, because then it can act, it's sharp, and it can act like a knife. But then if you have two teeth there, there's always a gap between the teeth. There's always some sort of crevice catch between the teeth, and that makes it into an equivalent of a megero, equivalent of a saw. And if that's the case, you can't use it. So that's the difference. Our mission is talking about we have multiple teeth on the jawbone. Over here, where Rabbeinu is talking about where it's mutar, we're talking about a single tooth. Tziporin at tziporin lokasha. The nails are also not a question. Habit lusha, habit mechuberet. Depends. If the nail is separated from, detached from the body, then it's fine. It's sharp and it works like a knife, it's fine. It has no catches in it. Then when it's attached to the body, then it's considered mechubar. And this is according to Shita Rabbi, that mechubar is not allowed to do shechita. You can't do shechita with something that's mechubar. So this tziporin over here is mechubar. So only things that are talush are you allowed to do shechita with. And then obviously when you're talush, you also have to meet the other qualifications of being sharp enough, have no catches, being long enough, all the other qualifications of the knife. But that's a starting factor, is that it has to be talush. We have one more Mishnah that deals with the utensils for shechita. A shochet v'magal katsir, somebody uses a harvesting scythe. B'derech halichata, if he's going in the direction of the knife or the scythe. Beit Shammai poslim, Beit Hillel machshirim. Beit Shammai says no good, Beit Hillel says good. V'mechliku shina arehi kisakin. If he shaved down the teeth of the harvesting scythe, then for sure it's okay. Now, we discussed this earlier, that as opposed to what we discussed yesterday about catches in a knife and sharp ends, when it comes to the scythe, the serrated edges are bent over, are very, very, very bent over. They're back towards the knife itself. And that means that if you go in the direction not of the serrations, but away from the serrations, nothing will catch because it's just like a sharp knife and you won't feel the serrations. If you come back the other way, obviously the serrations will catch. Even though they're bent far in, they'll still catch. So the suggestion over here is that Machlokotin Beit Hillel Beit Shammai is whether you're allowed to use the side of the knife that the serrations don't catch on when it comes to this side. So as opposed to yesterday when we had a serrated knives you couldn't use at all, over here, because of the nature of the serrations here, you would be allowed to use it. Only question is, are we gozer over here? Do we say it's pasul because atu, you're going to bring it back the other way? Or do we say, no, if he did it, bid the evid, it's okay. So Amar Rabbi Chiya Ba'avar Rabbi Yochanan. Even when Beit Hillel over here is matir, they're not matir the gamre. They don't say that it's mutar ba'achila. All they say is that this is a good enough shechita that it's not classified as a nevela anymore. It'll be a treifa, it won't be kosher ba'achila, but it won't be a nevela, it'll prevent the tumor from coming to it. Aval ba'achila, when I'm talking about achila asura. So Amar Rav Ashi Dekanami, Ashi says we can learn that out of the Mishnah. The Mishnah's lashon is meduyak. The fact that the Mishnah used pasul and hechsher, velo ktani, had been talking about the ability to eat or not eat, it should be Bet Shammai Usrim Ubet Hillel Matirim. Heter and Isur is the terminology you would use for Achila, for eating. The fact that the Mishnah uses Pasul and Heksher means that they must not be talking about Achila, they must be talking about something else. The Gemara says, okay, Litamech, Litnei Bet Shammai Mitamim Ubet Hillel Mitaharin. According to your reasoning, why is it Machshir and Pusel? The real issue here is whether it's Mitameh or not Mitameh. It's whether it's an Avela or not an Avela. That's about to do with Tuma and Taro. It doesn't have to do with Posel or Machshir. If that's the case, then there's no diok out of the Mishnah. Because even the way you're explaining it, it still should have said something besides Pasul and Machshir. Elo, there must be the conclusion that it's Poslim Machshirin, Vosrim Matirim, Chadamiltihi. There's no difference between Pasul and Hechsher and Asur and Mutar. They're used interchangeably, and therefore you cannot be Medayik out of the Mishnah to that effect. That only undermines Rav Ashi's diok out of the Mishnah. Nevertheless, Rav Yochanan had a mesora about his statement, and Rav Yochanan's statement still stands. He doesn't change his mind about that statement. It's just that our Mishnah is not necessarily meduyak like that position of Rav Yochanan. Okay, now this Mishnah begins. Next Mishnah begins the process of Shechita. Until now, we've dealt with the Shochatim, those that are doing the Shechita. We dealt with the utensils for Shechita. Now we're actually going to deal with the Shechita itself. One of the halachot, the Moshe Mitzinai, that we've discussed, there are five halachot of Moshe Mitzinai. One of them is called Hagrama. Hagrama is going anywhere where it's not the proper place for Shechita. And the location for Shechita, as Rashi explains, he brings down from the Tosefta, the proper area on the trachea, on the windpipe for doing the Shechita, is anywhere from the Tabat HaGdola. That's anywhere from the beginning, we'll call it loosely the larynx over here, all the way down to the Reyot, all the way down to the lungs. So that's the area that you're allowed to shecht in there. If you go outside of that area, then you're going to have a problem with Hagrama. I gave you a broad perspective on this, but obviously it's a machloket. It's not clear exactly where that endpoint is, and that's what we're going to discuss in this mission, as well as the upcoming Gemara. Hashochet mitoch hadabat. Someone who does their shechita in the tabat. Now we're talking about the tabat over here. We're talking about the tabat hagdola. Rashi brings down three different ways to explain this Gemara, this Mishnah, and this Gemara. I'm going to go with the way that Rashi in the end says that he thinks is the right way. Other Rishonim disagree. Tosfos over here discusses alternatives as well. Rashi gives the two other alternatives, but rejects them. For simplicity's sake, I'm going to go with the one that Rashi actually goes with. Brevity, I'll point out the alternatives, but I'm not going to explain the whole Gemara according to those alternatives. Ashochei mitocha tabat. He's doing shechita on what we call the tabat ha-gidola. Tabat ha-gidola is the ring at the top of the trachea. V'shir ba melo achut. And he left over a string's worth at the end of the tabat, al pnei kula, along the whole way, shechita tok shera. Then a shechita is a good shechita. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yudo, Amer, melochut al pnei ruba. You don't need it to be the whole tabat, but rather you need it just to be the rove of the tabat. We know that the din is when it comes to simanim, that in terms of shechita to simanim, you only need rove siman in order for it to be kasher. You don't have to shech the whole, you have to say rubo kakulo. Therefore, the rove of the siman is sufficient. So now, what we're talking over here, the Tabat HaGdola, you can see that in the pictures I sent you, it's the top ring on the trachea. It's called the cricoid cartilage. Cricoid cartilage is the largest of the rings, and it's all the way at the top of the trachea before you reach the larynx or the thyroid cartilage. It's called the cricoid cartilage. It's larger than the other Taba'ot, as well as the fact that it's different from the other Taba'ot. The other Taba'ot only are rings. And you can see that I brought you some pictures of that as well. You can see that on page 2, on the top right corner, you can see they are rings that are basically horseshoes. And the ring or the tabat is completed by a piece of some filler material. Over here, by the cricoid cartilage, that ring on the trachea is a complete ring. It goes all the way around. So that's how it's different than the other tabot. So that tabat, which now is going to be the top area of the trachea at this point in time, that's where we think the end of the area for shechita is. If you were to go outside of that, above that, then the shechita would no longer be kshera. So what we're saying here, according to the Tanakam, according to the Chachamim, is that you must shecht within the area of, if you're shechting on the tabat agdola, if you're shechting on this cricoid cartilage, you must be within the cricoid cartilage the entire time. You may not deviate out towards the top, meaning up towards the mouth or the head of the animal, at all. Along, you have to have some bit of the cartilage left over on the other side of the knife in order for it to be kshera. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda only adds in that that's true for the rove. You have to go through the rove of the tabat. You don't have to go the whole way because there's only a din in rove by simanim. You don't have to shech the whole siman. You have to shech the rove of the siman. So that's a machloket in the Mishnah. And what they're talking about, the problem is hagrama. Hagrama is where you move outside of the area that's the shechita. So here, while you're doing the shechita, he moves up above this area, then he's moving out of the area of the shechita. So that's what we're discussing in the Mishnah. Now, Rav Ushmuel, Damrei Tarvayu, halocha k'Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Yehuda. The halocha is like Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Yehuda over here. Ve'af Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Yehuda lo amar lo b'tavata gdola. He only explained this by the tavata gdola, which is what we explained in our Mishnah, which is the cricoid cartilage. Hoyo makefet of kol hakaneh. As I explained before, that it's a complete ring. It goes all the way around. Aval bishar taba'ot. When we're talking about the other rings in the trachea, the tracheal cartilages, they do not make it around. They're like the shape of a horseshoe, which again I showed you on the second page there, the picture, right? They have a piece of skin that completes them, but the cartilage only goes around in a horseshoe shape. And therefore, that he would not say his din by the other taba'ot. So it's only true by the tabat agdola that he says rove is sufficient. By the other taba'ot, he says that rove doesn't work. So now, that's the explanation of Rashi. The alternatives that Rashi offers over here is that when our Mishnah is talking about this, he's not talking about the tabat agdola, but rather, our Mishnah is talking about that it's talking about any taba'ot, any one of the tracheal cartilages. That's what we're talking about in the Mishnah. And the machloket is, if you start inside of a tracheal ring, you must stay within the tracheal ring. You have to finish it in there. So the question is, according to the Rabbanon, you have to finish it, the entire thing here. According to Rabbi Yossi, you have to finish the rove in there. That presumes that there's a problem from leaving one of the tracheal cartilages. And that's what Rashi says, I don't know what you're talking about. The Makom HaShechita goes all the way from the Tabat HaGdola, all the way down to the Reot, to the lungs. There's no area in there that's not kosher for Shechita. Even if you go between the cartilage rings, the tracheal cartilages, that's fine Shechita. You don't have to be on the rings themselves. So he says, I don't understand that interpretation because just factually, it's not true that if you move outside of one of the rings, when you start inside of them, that's not a problem of shechita. So that's one possibility or alternative that Rashi brings down. Rashi, on the second half of the Amud, brings down actually a de'at shlishi, a lashon shlishi, rove that Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda is talking about is only talking about the rove of the tabat agdola. Because by the rove of the tabat agdola, the tabat itself, we said, was complete. It's a complete circle, the cartilage. And then inside of the cartilage is the actual trachea, that the air tube or the windpipe that it goes down, that's surrounded by this cartilage. By the tabat hagdola, the ring itself, as well as the windpipe, are going to be the same size, because they're both complete circles. So therefore, if you shecht the rove of the ring, you've also shechted the rove of the windpipe. That is not true by the remainder of the tracheal cartilages. And the other tracheal cartilages I explained before, those are U-shaped. Since they are U-shaped, the rove of the cartilage does not equal rove of the windpipe, because the windpipe is a complete circle, whereas the cartilages are only a U-shape. So if you do the rove of the windpipe, it's fine. But if you only do rove of the tabat, you're not going to necessarily get the rove of the windpipe. And that's the issue that we're discussing over here. The reason that Rav and Shmuel says that he only says it by the tabat agdola and not by the other tabot is because of this reason, that it's only classified as rove of the tabat is the same as the rove of the windpipe by the tabat agdola, not by the other tabot. Rashi rejects that because he says it should have been more explicit. The Gemara should have laid this out. That's a pretty significant piece of information that's missing from the Gemara. And he says that the Lashon Rishon is the right one. In the end, Rashi says it really doesn't matter. He gives, even though he says, I favor this interpretation that I gave you about the Tabat HaGdola, in his sense, it doesn't matter because Halacha is not like this Lashon anyway. We'll get to that in the Gemara. So he says, Halacha, it's not going to matter. But L'Hagdol Tori Yadir, I think that the right explanation is that we're talking about the Tabat HaGdola over here. So why is it only by the Tabat HaGdola, not by the others? Rashi says here, Ein Shechita Kshira B'tochan Klal El Ben Tabat L'Tabat. Rashi suggests that according to this explanation of Rav and Shmuel, the Shechita is only Kshira if you do it in the Tabat HaGdola, or if you do it in between the tracheal cartilages. You shecht in between the tracheal cartilages on the windpipe itself between the tracheal cartilages, fine, that's a good Shechita. But if you shecht in the Taba'ot themselves, that's not the Makom HaShechita. That's not a Makom Kashir HaShechita. Because we only say Ruba Kukulo when it's a Makom Shechita. Then you can say the Ruba Kukulo makes it like you shechted the whole area. But if it's not a Makom Shechita, Ruba Kukulo can't make it into a Makom Shechita. And that's what Rashi is saying, that the fact that these tracheal cartilages are shaped like a U makes it that they have a rove of the windpipe, but they're not the entirety of the windpipe, and therefore that area is not considered to be Kaneh. It's only considered to be Kaneh in between those Taba'ot, and you can't make it into a Makom Shechita just because it has rove. Ruba Kukulo only works when the Kulo is there, and then Ruba is if you did the Kulo. But if it's rove, then it's not kulo. And since it's only rove of the windpipe, it's not the windpipe here. and therefore you'd have to check in between. That is the position of Rav and Shmuel. The Gemara challenges that right away and says, "V'sharta ba'ot lo." Is it really true that in the other tracheal cartilages, besides this, the cricoid cartilage, that you can't do shchita? V'hatanya, we have a brayta. Rabbi Yosi bar Yehuda Meir shachet ha'b'sharta ba'ot afo pishem mikifotet kolakaneh. He does a shchita on the other tabot, even though they don't do entire circumference of the windpipe. Ho mikifotet rova kaneh, since they do encompass the rove of the windpipe. Shchita tok shera, then shchita is good. There you go. It's an explicit statement. Rabbi Yosi bar Yehuda says it straight out that it's a good shchita when you're dealing with the other tabot. Now the way Rashi reads this, the next statement of the Gemara is independent, which is umu gremet psula. You go outside the area of shchita, it's pasul. And then the last statement is heid Rabbi Chanina ben Tikinus amu gremet shik shera. Chanina ben Tikinus says that when you go out of that area, it's still kshera. So now we have to explain what that means, that it's still kshera. The Hagrama of the Moshe Mishinai is much higher up. He's saying Tabata Gdola is not the end of the area that's kosher the Shechita, but rather the next stage up in the trachea, which is the larynx area. That larynx area is still kosher the Shechita, and in order to be Mugremet, you'd have to leave that area. So therefore, Mugremet, that we're talking about here, when you leave the Tabata Gdola, you're still within the area that's considered kosher the Shechita. And that's the opinion of Chanina ben Antigonus, and that's what Rashi says later on, that all the things that we're trying to discuss here, how the Gemara is set up, doesn't matter. Because the end, the loch is like Rabbi Chanina ben Tiginus, that the area of Shechita actually extends beyond the Tabat HaGdola. It goes beyond the Tabat HaGdola, even higher up to the area of the larynx. And we'll discuss that later in the Gemara, how far up it goes. And how do you know that that's the loch? Because Rashi says over here, anytime that the Gemara says, Heid, V'hachi hilchata, d'chol eidut hilchatohi. Anytime the Gemara says eidut or heid, that means the loch is that way. That's a code word for halacha is this way. When the Gemara says heid, Rabbi Chanina ben Tiginus, Mugremachik Shira means that Tabat HaGdola, that cricoid cartilage, is not the end, but rather there's a higher up area, the area of the larynx, which we'll discuss in a little bit, which is also kosher, a part of the area that you can do it for Shechita. So Amar Rav Yosef, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda Tartei Amar. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda said two statements. This is how we're answering out the problem. Rabbi Shmuel said that Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda only says it by the Tabat HaGdola, not by the other Tabot, but we have a bright that explicitly says he does say it by the other Tabot. So Rabbi Yosef comes to reconcile and says this. Look, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda made two statements. One statement is by the Tabat HaGdola, and the other one is by the other Tabot. So Rav and Shmuel, basically Paskin like him when it comes to Tabat HaGdola, that all you need is Rov, you don't do Kulo. They do not like hold like a Shita by the other Tabot. But the other Tabot, he also says that Rubu Kulo, other Tabot are Karshal Shkita. Rav and Shmuel there don't hold like his position. So that's Rabbi Yosef's reconciliation. True, the Braita says Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that way. Yes, it is that way. But Rav and Shmuel don't pass him like him in that case. And that's what Rav Yossi says. Rav Yossi, Rav Yehuda, Tartei, Kamari, two positions. Rav and Shmuel, Sarei, Kavetei, Bechado. They hold like him by one of them, by the Tabat HaGdola, that you only need Rubo Kikulo. Upligi, Alei, Bechado, and they argue with him on one of them, which is from the Braita to the other Tabaot, to have the same din. Mar says, V'ha lo amar ke amre? When Rav and Shmuel state their statement, they say Rav Yossi, Rav Yehuda himself doesn't say this. He only said his statement by Tabat HaGdola. It sounds like not that that's their opinion, but rather that's Rav Yossi, Rav Yehuda's opinion. Gemara says, Hoki kamar. Halacha kimoto b'tabat HaGdola. Halacha is like him by Tabat HaGdola, v'ein halacha kimoto b'shar tabot. And halacha is not like him by other tabaot. So not that he actually made that differentiation or that distinction, but rather when we come to Paskin halacha, it's as if he only said his halacha by Tabat HaGdola, but what he says by the regular other tabot, we're going to ignore because we don't think the halacha is that way. Kisalik Rabbi Zeira. When Rabbi Zeira came up to Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Zeira was from Bavel, came up to Eretz Yisrael, achal mugremet Rav Shmuel. He used to eat mugremet of Rav and Shmuel. Remember, mugremet means that you went out of the area that's normally considered for Shechita. What Rav and Shmuel rejected of Rabbi Yosef bar Yehuda and Mishnah means the other tabot. Shechita and the other tabot that they say is no good, he ate. According to Rav and Shmuel, that's pasul. It's not a good Shechita. Rav Zeira went up to Eretz Yisrael. When he went up to Eretz Yisrael, he started to eat Shechita and the other tabot that they say is no good, he ate. And they challenged him. They said, aren't you from the cities of Rav and Shmuel? Aren't you from Bavel? From Narda, Pumpadita, the cities where Rav and Shmuel are, the Rosh Yeshiva, where the Minhagim are according to Rav and Shmuel. And that means that you came from a place where it was Asur. So he responds to them, Amrahu, Manamra. Who said that that Rav and Shmuel hold this way? It's Yosef Bar Chiya. Yosef Bar Chiya, as Rashi points out, is Tam Rav Yosef. So Amr Rav Yosef in the Shas is Yosef Bar Chiya, and that's what we had here. Amr Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef Bar Yehuda Tartei Kamar. Rav Yosef said two things, and Rav and Shmuel hold like him in one, not the other. And Rav Yosef Bar Chiya Mikuli Amma Gomir. He learned from everybody. Rav Yosef Bar Chiya learned from everybody. Since he learned from everybody, maybe he mixed it up. Maybe he mixed up that it wasn't really Rav and Shmuel said it. Maybe it was someone else who said it. So if someone else said it, I'm not bound by it because I don't come from their cities. I come from the cities of Rav and Shmuel, but I'm not sure that Rav Yosef quoted it right. Shomer Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef got wind of this and Ikbit. He was very upset about it. Amar Ana Mikuli Alma Gamirna. I learned from everybody. Ana Mirav Yehuda Gamirna. I learned from Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda, we know, was a Talmud that was both before Rav and Shmuel. We see throughout Shas, I'm Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, I'm Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. He learned by both of them and he quotes them all the time. And Rav Yehuda was very makpid, exactly on his girsa, because he says, Da'afilu sveke de gavre goris. Then whenever he knew for sure who said it, and if he didn't know who said it, and someone said it over, they didn't know who it was, he would quote it that way. Da'amar Rav Yehuda Yirmiyah bar Ava. We have a situation like this, where Rav Yehuda is quoting Rav Yirmiyah bar Ava. He says, Safik mishmei de Rav, Safik mishmei de Shmuel. He says, we don't know. I don't know if it was the name of Rav. I don't know if it's the name of Shmuel. So he's very makpid to say exactly who it came from. Shlosha matirim et ha-bechor b'makom shein mumcha. This has to do with the hatarat bechorot. Again, this is not our sugi over here. We get to bechorot, but in order for a bechor to be kosher, to be eaten outside the mikdash, it has to get a mum in it. If it gets a mum in it, it's no longer roi mizbeach, and then the kohen can eat it as chulin outside of the mikdash. But before he shechs it, he has to bring the mum to a chacham to look and to be matir. The chacham has to say it's a mum that's not over, that's not temporary, but a permanent mum, and a mum that's good enough to shech the animal on. If there is no chacham there, you can replace him with three hedjotot. You can create like a beitin of three hedjotot that will replace the chacham in this case to say or to qualify this mum to shech the behema on it. So that halacha, he said over mishmei, he wasn't sure if it was Rav or Shmuel. I mean, he's very makbid about it. I'm very makbid about this. If I said Rav and Shmuel said it this way, I mean Rav and Shmuel said it this way. So Rabbi Zeira, why aren't you keeping to the din of Rav and Shmuel? And the Gemara challenges it even further, brings the Gemara in Pesachim from Makom Shenago. Rabbi Zeira, lately, doesn't he have the din from the Mishnah in Pesachim? Notanim alav chumrei ha-makom sheyatzah misham. Chumrei ha-makom shalach lesham. The din is, you take on the chumrot from the place that you left, as well as the chumrot to the place that you came. Rabbi Zeira left Bavel, came to Eretz Yisrael. If he left the place that they were machmir, like Rav and Shmuel, that they didn't do shechita on the other tabot, then he has to keep that chumrah even when he ends up in Eretz Yisrael. So Amar Abaye, this is a huge qualification. Hanei mile mi Bavel de Bavel. That's true of cities within Bavel. Omi Eretz Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael. That's also true of cities within Eretz Yisrael, internal to Eretz Yisrael. Aval mi Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. If you're going from Bavel up to Eretz Yisrael. Kevan da'anan kafinan lo. Since we are under their influence, avdinon kavatayu, we accept their minhagim. We become part and parcel of the community there, and we accept their minhagim, and you forget about what you had beforehand. And what does that mean that we were kafinan lahu? What does it mean that we're under their dominion? So Rashi says over here that what does it mean that we're under their dominion? It's for a couple of things. One is the Kiddush HaChodesh, the Ibar Shana, which can only be done out of Eretz Yisrael, and for Dinei Knasot. Those are the three things that are dictated or determined in Eretz Yisrael, because Smicha comes from Eretz Yisrael, and that Smicha allows you to do the Dinei Knasot. Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibar Shana have to be done from Eretz Yisrael and not outside of Eretz Yisrael. Those three things are determined by Eretz Yisrael, and therefore we're kafin lahu. We're always under their influence, under their dominion. Tosos over here asks a very obvious question from the Gemara in the beginning of Sanhedrin. The Gemara in the beginning of Sanhedrin discusses the relationship between Bavel and Eretz Yisrael. And over there it says that in Bavel, you need to take a reshut, dinei memononot. If you get specific reshut, then you will have a indemnification for paskening halacha. So if you get a permission for Bavel, it's good enough for Bavel and Eretz Yisrael. If you get an indemnification from Eretz Yisrael, it's not good enough to paskin in Bavel. So what do you see there? That Bavel is stronger, and that it's better. So how come in the Gemara in Sanhedrin it says Bavel is better, and over here it's saying that Eretz Yisrael is better? So that's what Tosfos asks over here. It's the second Tosfos on the page. Mashma, he says in Perakam of the Sanhedrin, Mashma Ipcholin, then he told Rishut Ladun, Liot Patur Mleshalem, to get that indemnification. Sounds like the opposite. So if you skip down two lines, Omer Reino Tam, Delin Yisr Veheter, comes to Yisr Veheter, Bnei Yisrael Adife, Dechakim Etvei, comes to Dine Yisr Veheter, we rely on Eretz Yisrael because they are greater Chachamim. Aval Yinyan of Gat Mamon, Rosh HaGola Adif. When it comes to taking money, meaning that when it comes to civil issues, the Rosh Gola is greater. And then they quote the Gemara that we brings in Sanhedrin, which is Lo Yasur Shevet Yehuda Mechukek Meben Raglav. So there we said that the Shevet Yehuda is the Rosh Galiot Bavel, and the Mechukek is the Bnei Banav Shel Hillel that teach Torah in Eretz Yisrael. But which is stronger, the Shevet or the Mechukek? It's the Shevet that's stronger, and Bavel is stronger. And therefore we say that Nasi Shberet Yisrael Eme Vi Sa'ir. The Nasi in Eretz Yisrael does not bring a Sa'ir of the Nasi because Ika Bavel Rosh Gola. The Rosh Gola, which is greater than him, Rashi claims that here Vashir Mimenu. He's richer than him. The determination over here of who's greater in terms of monetary matters is because they're richer in Bavel, or the Rosh Gola in Bavel is richer. I would have possibly stated it a little differently, which is their autonomy in those areas to adjudicate civil issues and monetary issues. When it came to the Jews in Bavel or in the Persia Media area, those Jews were given autonomy in terms of their civil matters. And therefore, they were allowed to adjudicate, and they were empowered, in a sense, to have their own police force and to carry out their judgments. In Eretz Yisrael, they were still subject to the local authorities, and it wasn't clear that they had independent or autonomous power. So I would suggest that's why the Rosh Gola had more power in these areas rather than in Eretz Yisrael. That's the first part of this puzzle over here. So therefore, when Reb Zera went up from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, he was captured by the Minhagim, the Dinim of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore he took on all those Minhagim because we're Kafin and Lehu. What is interesting is that the Gemara says over here is true. There was at some point a shift where that was no longer true, and that has to do with one halacha, actually, which is relevant today. It happened 2 years ago. 2 years ago, we had that where the first day of Yontov falls out on Shabbos. So when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, it's clear that when it comes to Tkiyat HaShofar, Tkiyat HaShofar on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, if it's Shabbos, it's only been Mikdash. Mikdash either means the Mikdash literally, or according to Rambam, means Yerushalayim as well, but not in the Gvulin. In the Gvulin, maybe if it's in Beit Din, you could do it. That's the Din of the Rif and others that dealt with that or tried to start it. But otherwise, we know in the Gvulin, you don't blow Shofar on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. On the other hand, there's another Din by the first day of Sukkot. But the first day of Sukkot, when it falls out on Shabbos, we don't take lulav on Shabbat. The Mishnah is explicit that that's not the din. The Mishnah says that if the first day of Sukkot falls out on Shabbat, you take a lulav. They bring it to the Beit HaMikdash. They bring it to the Beit Knesset before Shabbat, and you do take it on Shabbat. When do you not take lulav on Shabbat? When it falls out on Chol HaMoed. How about today? If I asked you 2 years ago, when the first day of Sukkot was on Shabbat, did you take a lulav? The answer was no. So why not? So the Gemara says, you know why we don't take lulav on the first day of Shabbat? Sveika Dioma. Sveika Dioma, so we don't really know if it's the first day of Sukkot. We don't know if it's the Din D'Oraita. So we're not going to risk the Din of Shabbos when we're not sure it's the Din D'Oraita. Well, that's only true when you're talking about outside of Eretz Yisrael, where there is a Sveika Dioma. And when Eretz Yisrael, there is no Sveika Dioma, you should take Lulav. So how come nobody in Eretz Yisrael takes Lulav? Because at the time that this Din developed, and this issue of Sveika Dioma developed, the Eretz Yisrael were really were under the dominion or Kafina and the Bnei Bavel. So there are shifts you see a long time. Over time, you see shifts between Bavel and Eretz Yisrael and who's in power or who's on the, in the terms of the scale, who is under whose influence or whose dominion. So we see that the halacha change over time. That's one issue. The second issue, which is, let's complete the piece in the Gemara and then we'll discuss this other issue, which is Rav Asher Amar Afilu Tamei Bavel Eretz Yisrael, even from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, Hani Mile Eched Dedat Olachzor. Now, that maybe going from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael has the same din. Meaning that you have to take the Chumrot from where you went and Chumrot where you come. The din has to do with Dat Olachzor, whether you intend to return or not. If you intend to return to your original location, then you have to keep the Chumrot V'yatzim Hisham and the Chumrot Shalach L'sham. On the other hand, if your Dat is to remain in the new location, then you can leave behind the Chumrot from the place you came and you take on the new Alochot of the place you come to. So that here, if a person moves to Eretz Yisrael, then they become a Ben Eretz Yisrael. So when they're living in Eretz Yisrael, they keep one day of Yontif. Even though they came from the Galut, we don't say, Chumrei HaMakom Shiyotzim, and somebody has to keep 2 days of Yontif. That's only true, v'ein Da'ato L'Achzor, if he doesn't intend on returning at a later time. Aval Da'ato L'Achzor, if he intends to return, then you do have that. Which comes to the famous halacha, the famous issue of keeping 2 days of Yontif. Someone who comes from Chutz La'aretz to visit Eretz Yisrael, what should they do? So I'm here at the Gemara in Pesachim, it's well, it seems pretty clear that when we're talking about Chumrei HaMakom Shiyotzim, Sam Chumrei HaMakom Shalach L'Sham, that you should keep 2 days of Yom Tov. Because if Dato Lachzor, if he intends to return afterward, then that should be enough of a reason to keep 2 days of Yom Tov. There are those that are Mechadesh, that maybe there is a different din with regards to Eretz Yisrael. Rav Avadi Yosef talks about Bnei Yeshiva, boys who come to Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, that maybe they should only keep 1 day of Yom Tov because in the end, they might stay on. There's a high likelihood that they might stay on and learn. They might stay on and live in Eretz Yisrael. And since that's the case, maybe they should only keep 1 day of Yom Tov. The other matir over here is the Ben Ish Chai. The Ben Ish Chai has the famous heter that he says it has to do with the din of Yom Tov. It's not a din in Gavra. It's not a din in Chumrah. It's a din in Mokum. It has to do with where you are. If you're in Chutz Laaretz, then the din is 2 days. If you're in Eretz Yisrael, the din is 1 day. So you come to, even if you're a Ben Chutz Laaretz, when you're in Eretz Yisrael, it's a din in the Mokom. It's not a din. The Sveiko has to do with where you're located, not with the Gavra, not with the individual. The Sveiko is about the Mokom, not about the Gavra. And therefore, it says it's all determined by the Mokom, not by the Gavra. So even though there are many or most people disagree with the Ben Ishchai, Ben Ishchai has become a very popular posek, and even though people don't know any other psakim from the Ben Ishchai, they do know this psak halacha, and they tend to hold of this din of the Ben Ishchai. Right. Right. So if you'd have to say, number one, if that's true, I told you there was a shift over time. We see that by Lulav, there was a shift in the Kaifin and Lulav from B'nai Eretz Yisrael to B'nai Bavel. So it's not so clear that B'nai Yisrael are Kafin and Lahua anymore. Whether that din still applies, I'm not sure if that's true. That's number one. Number two is Rav Ashi is a Batra. So therefore, we generally would pass on like Rav Ashi, not like the first Lashon, but rather with the second Lashon. And so therefore, most of the posts in the Shulchan Aruch, others say that when you go, a person comes from Chutz Laaretz to Eretz Yisrael, should keep 2 days if Dato Lachzor. Again, they have the Heter, the Ben Ishchai, you have this issue where Rav Avadi Yosef, who give Heterim for keeping 1 day. There are others who keep what we know as the day and a half because of a suffix. It's a suffix. I don't know if I should keep the second day or if I should keep or not keep the second day. So I do what's called a day and a half. I don't violate any Yisurim, but I also don't do the mitzvot asay because I'm not sure I'm chayiv in the mitzvot asay. That's what I call a day and a half. Rev Aaron Lichtenstein, when I heard him give over the shir about the day and a half, he gave a shir klali in yeshiva and then they daven mincha. After mincha, he gave a big clap. He says that my son Shai reminded me that maybe even a day and a half is mi'ikar alocha. We always think of a day and a half as being kept misafik. We don't know if it's 2 days, we don't know if it's 1 day, so misafik, we keep it this way. He says that that might even be the din mi'ikar adin. He says that from Soloveitchik also. Now when it talks about here, it says, chumrah amakom shiyotza misham, and chumrah amakom shi'alach misham. Chumrah is only applicable when you're dealing with things like malocha, when you're dealing with things with iser, heter, things that are mutar, asur. When you're dealing with things like tefillah, kiddush, and so on, davening Shabbos versus davening, or davening Yom Tov versus Chol, how do you call that? Which one's the Chumrah? Which one's more Machmir? You can't make a determination of Chumrah when it comes to something like that. So he says, that's the idea, maybe Meikar a din in the day half. It's not a din in Suffolk, it's a din in things that are Chumrot. By Melocha, Melocha is something that's Heter and Isur. So over there, you have to keep Chumrah Malkom Shiyotza Misham, therefore you have to keep the Isurei Melocha. On the other hand, when it comes to davening Chol versus Yom Tov, Yom Tov versus Chol, I don't know which one's the Chumrah, so I do it like I'm where I am. I daven Chol like the people that I'm there. I don't make Kiddush. I don't know mitzvah to say because over there, that's not a din in Chumrah and Kula. That's just a din asay, but I can't call it a Chumrah and Kula. And so therefore, maybe the day and a half is Meikar a din because only the application of this din of Minhagim only applies to Chumrot and Kulot, not to every din that's associated with the place that you left. So now, of course, Rabbi Zeira ain't datol lechzor havo. Rabbi Zeira had no intention of returning. So therefore, he took on the dinim of Bnei Yisrael, he left behind Rav and Shmuel. Tamar Abaye the Rav Yosef. Abaye says to Rav Yosef, wait a minute. V'har Rabbanon, da'atam mechuzah. The Rabbanon that come out of Mechuzah, which was the city of Rova, Amrei, Amar Rabbi Zeira mishmei de Rav Nachman, mugremet k'shema. Says, wait, we have quotes from those people in those cities in Bavel that Mugremet is fine. So we see that not all Bavel is consistent. That means that there are different locations in Bavel. Some places in Bavel didn't hold like Rav and Shmuel. So he answers him, Amalei Nara Naro Pashte. Everyone goes according to their aloch or their dinim. So Ein Ochanami, Bavel is not necessarily consistent. It's not that everyone and everywhere in Bavel that they say, like din is like Rav and Shmuel, that Mugremet, anything outside of the Tabata Gdola is not Sheira. Meaning that any of the other Tabot are not Kshirot. That's not true. Necessarily, they're places like Mechuza, where they don't hold like that. But Rabbi Zeira, who came from the areas where Rav and Shmuel were, he should have been subjected to that halacha. The fact that he's not gives us indications that, first of all, that he made Aliyah and wasn't planning on going back. And number two is the possibility that B'nai Bavel were Kafinan to B'nai Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, when he was Ola to Eretz Yisrael, he took on the halachos of Eretz Yisrael. He did not any longer keep the halachos of B'nai Bavel. Rab Shimon ben Lakish Achshir Bechuda Dekova. Rab Shimon Lakish says that the area of Shechita that is Kshira does not end at the Tabata Gadola, does not end at the cricoid cartilage, but rather goes even higher up to the Chuda Dekova, which is the thyroid cartilage. The thyroid cartilage is actually part of the larynx. The larynx comes around to the front, and the thyroid cartilage is what seals the front of the larynx of the voice box. So that's the thyroid lower regulation. You can see them in the pictures. It's a cap that sits a little bit above the tibial tegmental line. Actually encompasses the tibial tegmental line, the cricoid cartilage a little bit. It sits on top of it and encompasses it somewhat. And it's called the chuda. It's called the point, as Rashi mentions over here, because it comes kamin kova. It's like a cap. Ish lamalam in a kane kova la rosh, like a hat on a head. Vein ze oto basar katan shnofela pi a kane. Rashi says, this is not that little piece of flesh that falls on the top of the windpipe. Don't think it's the epiglottis. It's like a real cap. From the midpoint of this, it goes and starts to gather together or narrow. And becomes a point. And that you can see here in the pictures by the, what we call the Adam's apple, the larynx, and the thyroid cartilage, is that it comes to a point in the front. And that's what we're talking about here. Kimin kumus shikorin helim. Voto shipui nikres shipui kova. That incline towards that point is called the shipui of the kova. But you know shikova bega go at the top of it. And that's where, until that point, that's where Reish Lakish said that you can do shkita. Even above the tibat gadol, even up to that point. So then Rabbi Yochanan said to Reish Lakish, kari alei Rabbi Yochanan gisa gisa. That's a little too avant-garde. And you're a little too far up on the neck over there. That's a little bit much. I don't think we can go that far. So Rabbi Yochanan was not willing to go that far. Amar al papi mishmei de rava. Pogo b'chite. If he hits the, this are what are called the chite. Chite are the arytenoid cartilage. Then it's a trefa. If you look in the pictures that I sent you, you can see that the arytenoid cartilage sits inside the actual shipoi akova, inside of the thyroid cartilage. You can see that on page 2 on the top left there. You can see the picture. I gave you a cross-section of the larynx. You're looking from above, a cross-section from above. And in that cross-section, you can see that the cricoid cartilage, which is the tibat hagdola, above it is the thyroid cartilage, which is the area that closes off the larynx. And then you can see in that, you can see these on the vocal ligaments over there. There is something called the thyroid cartilage is on the outside, but the arytenoid cartilage, which is on the inside that holds the vocal ligaments in, those two points of the arytenoid cartilage, that's what we're talking about. Those chitin over there, those types of protrusions, or they look like wheat kernels, as you can see over there, that the cornuculate cartilage that sits on top of them makes them look like a pointy or wheat kernel. So that's what we're talking about here. If you hit those, then it's problematic. That means that you're too far up. If you hit the arytenoid cartilage, then you're too far up on the neck at that point in time. Now, the Gemara wants to know, what does it mean that you hit it? So the Gemara says, pagavinagabahan. What does it mean that you got there? I mean, pagav means you actually touched them, you actually cut them, and that's problematic. Because it says by Shim'i, when Shlomo sends Benayahu ben Yehuda to kill Shim'i after he leaves Yerushalayim, vayivgabo vayamot. Vayivga here means that he hit him and he killed him, meaning that he actually touched him. Or, Dilma Pagav alo Naga. Maybe Pagav means that you came in proximity to them, but that doesn't mean that you necessarily touched them. The Chirichtiv by Yaakov, it says, Vifgubo Malachei Elukim. That he bumped into the Malachei Elukim. Here, bumped in doesn't mean he literally bumped into them. It means that he was came into contact with them. He was proximate to them. So, Itmar. Amar Papa Mishmei Derova. Shir Bechite Kshira. As long as you leave some of this arytenoid cartilage left over, it's Kasher. I mean, if you go up on top onto this kova and you cut, but as long as there's some of this arytenoid cartilage left behind, then you're not too far up. Amar Rav Meimar Bar Mar Yanoka, Hava Kamina Kamed Rav Chia Breid Rav Avya, Vamele Shir Bechite Kshira. As long as you leave something over of this arytenoid cartilage, then you're okay. So Amar Le Ravina Ravashi, Amar Le Rav Shemen Misuvra, Ikla Marzutra the Atrin, Vidorish. Marzutra went to his city and Dorish Shir Bechite Kshira. But if you leave over of the arytenoid cartilage, then it's kosher. Mar bar Ravashi amar, pogo b'chite k'shera. If you touch the actual chite k'shera, it's okay. Shire b'chite trefa. If you leave over of the chite, then it's trefa. I mean, if you actually cut into them and there's some left over, then you're too far up. If you touch them, if you just come proximate to them, then you're not too far up and you're okay. The hilchot on the loch is, mishipoi kuvo lamata k'shera. That from the shipoi, from that point, that pinnacle of the kova, which we said was the larynx or the thyroid cartilage, from that pinnacle point downwards, the mata means down towards the reyot, towards the lungs, that's kshira. Vahainu, and that's the same qualification as the shir bechite. that you left something over in the chite. I mean, that's you cut into the chite, but there's still some of them left over because they're at that same point. As you can see from the picture, that the shipoi hakova, that thyroid cartilage, the point where it reaches the pinnacle, is that over, sits over the arytenoid cartilage, over the chite. And therefore, if you were to cut up to that point, you would always leave some of the arytenoid cartilage behind, and that would be a kosher kshita. Okay, we'll stop over here.